All right, we have a thumbs up. So we are recording, we're gonna get started. Welcome everyone and thank you for being here. Today is Tuesday, March 19th, 2024. This is the City Council meeting for the City of South Jordan. My name is Dawn Ramsey and I have the privilege of serving as Mayor of the City of South Jordan with this outstanding City Council and our administrative staff who are the best in the state. We appreciate all of you for being here. Welcome to those of you attending. We have three students here from Bingham High School who are here for their Gov class. Thank you. And to anyone else who may join us or watch this online, we welcome all of you. And we are going to open this meeting tonight with an invocation by Councilmember Don Shelton.
Our Father in Heaven, we're so thankful for our blessings of being able to meet in these comfortable and peaceful circumstances and to be able to participate in the government of our city. We're thankful for the residents that live here and for their dedication to the city. We're thankful for our professional staff and pray that thou bless them, that they may be safe as they fulfill their duties. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for each other and for the camaraderie that we enjoy and for the opportunity that we have to listen and discuss and debate the issues here in a reasonable and congenial way. We pray that thy spirit will attend us this evening, help us to make the best choices and decisions for our city. And we say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Mr. Shelton. All right, the Pledge of Allegiance tonight, we have the privilege of having our Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Sunil Naidu, and lead us in the pledge. Sunil. Thank
you. Audience, please arise. Recite the Pledge of Allegiance with me. I pledge allegiance to the flag
of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
You may be seated.
Thank you, Mr. Naidu. Appreciate that. All right, we have our minutes from the February 20th City Council meeting and City Council study meeting, and the February 28th City Council budget meeting, and the March 5th City Council study meeting. Hold on. Yes. The minutes from those four meetings have been sent out in draft form for review. Everyone's received those. Does anybody have any questions or comments, amendments to make? Mr. McGuire sent an email with a very minor, it was just a name adjustment, and that's already been fixed. So, anything else? Okay, seeing none, can I get a motion to approve the minutes as they've been sent out?
Madam Mayor, I'll move that we approve the minutes for the four meetings that are indicated on the agenda.
Thank you. I have a motion by Mr. Shelton. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Mr. McGuire. Any additional discussion? Okay, seeing none, all in favor of approving the minutes, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Those minutes are approved. I find myself still looking the wrong direction for both Jason and Donna. I've done it now. The only two items we've had so far, and so anyway, just bear with me if I, you know, yeah, I know, I'm like, oh, wait, yeah, sorry. All right, item E on our agenda is our mayor and council reports. This is a time when we report back to you, to the residents of our city who have elected us to represent you, and just share a little bit about what we've been doing the last couple weeks since our last council meeting and some of the work that we've done on behalf of the city. It's an effort to try to be as transparent as we can about our time and what we've been tasked with. And so, does anybody want to go first? Please.
Mayor, I left our meetings 2 weeks ago and went right over to the caucus meeting, attended that. I met with the folks who are running the BMX bike racing at Red Canyon out adjacent to, or part of Bingham Creek Regional Park now. I appreciate Mr. Tingey helping me out with some information for them. I also just wanted to mention that I have a son that lives along the river, has home along the river, and is worried about flooding, of course. And he was thinking he needed to install a foundation drain, and Mr. Clavineau and, I don't know, staff and so forth provided information that showed him that he actually, it was fascinating. There was an inspection and photographs of his home while it was in construction that the city was able to provide that showed him he had a foundation drain in place and where to access it so that he could install the sump pump. So I thought that was really terrific information, very helpful for my family. Thank you so much. That's my report.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Mr. Shelton. Anybody want to go next? You can go in order if you're ready.
Sure. I have a couple things. I also went to the caucus meetings 2 weeks ago on Tuesday. Huge turnout. The location I attended was Harriman High School. The parking lot was packed. The hallways were packed. You could barely navigate. It was wonderful. The best attendance. I mean, good attendance. Wonderful.
Yeah, it was good.
I was thrilled to go into my precinct meeting and have all the seats in that classroom pretty full. So I ran as a delegate, and I was elected, and I'm excited to go to the convention and learn more about the candidates. And I encourage anyone that's listening and anyone in the room to pay attention as we have these conventions happen, and then the primary, and then the general election. It's so important. Last Saturday, the 16th, I was able to attend the Sojo race, the 5K race that took place. What's the name of that park? Going on 40th West. Anybody?
Island.
Ochre Shadows. Thank you. Patrick's family was there. We passed as he walked, raced with his family. Great turnout. I had some great pictures, but just imagine green, lots of green, because it was St. Patrick's Day, and there was a. I got to be the judge on the costume contest. Lots of people had green hair, green tutus, green headbands, and that was a blast. Matt did a great job. He had some Sojo swag that we gave away, lots of people in attendance. Thank you, Janelle. And then last but not least, I went and played pickleball recently in Highland Park, and I want to say thank you. The lights are on, and there's a sign that talks about pickleball etiquette. Where's Colby? Is Colby around? There you are. But there are still no pickleball depositories, or whatever we're calling them.
Paddle holders.
So there's an etiquette to pickleball, I'm sure you're aware. But when I showed up, every court was full and at capacity. Some courts had a family plus two on the side, plus a mom with a stroller walking laps around the court. Another one would have like three families. It was packed. So as delightful as it was to see the use high, I stood with another couple people in the little hallway area between courts. And I was like, do you know how to get on the court? Do you know how to get on the court? Everybody's like, well, we need those queue up with the paddles. So do we have those coming?
Yes.
When will they be installed? Because that would help with the orderly nature.
We expect to receive them within the next couple weeks.
Okay.
They were on back order, And we'll have them, and they'll be installed as soon as we get them.
Perfect. Do the parks on Redwood have those?
They do.
They do. So the only one missing is Highland Park.
That's correct.
Perfect. I'm glad to hear that. Thank you so much. Would you, Colby, specifically let me know when that happens?
Yep.
Because there's a couple of specific Facebook pages
okay.
for the Highland Park pickleball courts. And I'd love to announce, hey, this is the new order of how we do things out there.
Will do.
Thank you so much.
You bet.
That's it, Mayor.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Would you like to go, Mr. Harris?
Sure. Happy to. I also attended the caucuses. School I went to as well had a very good turnout as well. I look forward to being able to get people through there a little bit faster next time, but it was good at least see all the people there. Also attended the South Jordan Race Series as Councilwoman Zander mentioned, and it's always a fun time. This one was extra special fun because it wasn't so cold, and so yeah, it was a nice day to get out there and run, and so you're seeing people you know, all different abilities run. I remember when we first showed up there, our first time we showed up with our dog, and I think I might have been the very first person to have our dog at one of these races. People are like, can you do that? I was like, and now we're seeing quite a few dogs, you know, that are showing up at these things, and so it's been fun to even have the dogs there as well. With South Valley Sewer, I recommended that we have an audit committee, just like we do here at South Jordan City. And, you know, they didn't have that in place. And I said, we recommended that. So we actually had our first meeting at South Valley Sewer, and everything is going well in the sewer district as well. And that's my report.
Great. Thank you. Thank you. I don't have anything this time. Go ahead.
I want to back up a little bit further than everyone else and just say, Mayor, you did a wonderful job with the State of the City address. We haven't had our opportunity to give our public, our reports, and just want to say you did well. Thank you for representing South Jordan. A lot of my stuff, of course, is revolved around the arts for the city. Right now, we have a call for artists open for some new sidewalk murals to replace the ones here at Town Center Drive, so those are freshened up. And then also some smaller murals to go in the city as part of our art venture program. Also attended, we'll give a shout out to Harriman High School, attended their production of the Pajama Game. That was a cute show, hadn't seen it before, so that was fun. The South Jordan Arts Council Art Show is coming up. You should have all received an email from Mel with the details on that, and just encourage you to come out to the art show reception and interact with the artists that will be there.
It's next week.
Yes. And then had a coordination meeting with Dustin. Sorry, no picture this time, but you know, it's a way to kind of just talk about just some of the smaller things that pop up in our districts. Right now, I've been having an issue with some chickens. Some residents would like some chickens. And working with Dustin on trying to find a solution that meets their desires, but also still fits within our city ordinance. And then we also spoke about the Round It Up program and making sure that the registration process for that is simplified so we can have that posted like at the theater production. So those who attend can easily scan a QR code and make a donation to the city's Round It Up for the Arts program. And with the theater production, that is fully casted. And we have a narrator that's going to be part of Joseph that's in the room. The mayor's so generously donating her very limited spare time to participate in the production.
I don't know if we call it spare anymore.
Yeah, I know. I don't know. It's like, yeah, trying to figure out the right word for it. But I've seen the list of the cast, and it looks like it's a great cast. Some of them have been in past productions, and so I'm really looking forward to the city's production of Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat come June. Yeah. And that's everything, Mayor.
Thank you. Thank you. I just wrote just a couple of these down. Also attended caucus night and was elected as a Republican state delegate, and so I'll see some of you at that convention. Had a meeting with some of our friends from Larry H. Miller about some things going on in Daybreak, and a good update meeting and a little bit of strategy as we come together to work. I appreciate that we are aligned in some of our desires toward naming the future track stop that we have had approved. And so we're gonna work together and partner together to work with UTA. We have met with UTA quite a few times, but now we'll go in together in partnership to talk to them about the name and the names of the streets. We've discussed with them the names of what the new streets will be, you know, called over there, and then how that works with naming the station. So we'll keep working on that. I had I didn't really get to report on, because we didn't do this last time, but, you know, we had the crazy tumbleweed situation that went global. It went global, all the tumbleweeds that blew in during that windstorm overnight, and most of them landed in just a small area of Daybreak and took over the roads, shut down the roads. We had tumbleweeds like walls come up overnight and cover people's cars, cover their entrance, their garage, their homes. There's no getting in or out. It was bizarre. And it was bizarre enough that it went crazy. And every national news outlet picked it up. And international news outlets picked it up. So Rachel and I did some lots of funny interviews, lots of unique, they're everywhere. So, you know, I never thought that in this role I would ever talk to NBC Nightly News, any of those. Like, it was everywhere. And anyway, there's a radio station in Australia that has a radio program that once a week they do a segment called Take Me There, and they go somewhere in the world and learn about that place. And they came to South Jordan that day and learned about our tumbleweeds because they were very foreign to the people in Australia. Yeah. And anyway, fun. And Rachel just did such a good job with that, and we just navigated a lot of it. And anyway, I think it's a win for us if we have stories like that that come out, that if they're going to make media that far spread and it doesn't have anything to do with negative, there's nothing negative that happened, there's no disasters and nobody died and nobody, yeah, it just was quirky and unique and something that, over the heaviness of Super Tuesday and, you know, all the meetings that people around the nation were concerned about, it was a moment of lightness because we didn't have any permanent damage, we didn't have, you know, any injuries, but it was unique. So anyway, we went far and wide. So I don't know if I've ever talked about here. I haven't ever put it on the website or anything. Well, you don't have access to the website, but you know what I mean. It's not on there. But I serve on the Joint Policy Advisory Committee, which is the advisory committee for UDOT, for the Department of Transportation. And we had a meeting at UDOT's headquarters, and UTA is part of it, and every metropolitan planning organization in the state is part of it, and as chair of WFRC, I serve on that and have for a while. Anyway, we had a really good meeting at the UDOT headquarters, and we talked about some of our projects. We talked about the progress on Bangor Highway. We talked about the future of Mountain View Corridor and how, so just so you know, from a timing perspective, and this was done legislatively, but the dedicated bus lane, which was going to be a BRT, and now I think it's just a dedicated bus lane, all along 5600 West has to be done before the conversion of Mountain View will take place. The farthest south portion of Mountain View is underway now, and ours will be the first portion of that road to be converted, but there's other projects underway. So there's prioritization for it, and it's in line, but those other projects have to be done first, and that was something that was legislatively decided. So we're in line, and we've jumped the line. We've moved those projects up, but it's not going to start tomorrow. We've got to finish Bangor. Which from a capital project, you can understand that, you know, and do the south end of Mountain View and do the dedicated bus line all the way down 5600 West. So so just an update there about some of our transportation priorities. I had the chance, you all know that I've been part of the Jordan Education Foundation for many, many years, a long time. And one of my favorite things to get to do is go present Outstanding Educator of the Year awards. So I, in the last week and a half, 2 weeks, have visited every school in South Jordan and almost every school in the Jordan District. There was a day I had to miss, but all of our South Jordan schools I've had a chance to go to, except South Jordan Middle School, and that's when I was at the NLC conference and Dustin went. And we appreciated that. They appreciated that. So I had the chance to go, and I'm just grateful to spend time in our schools with our teachers and our principals and our students and their classrooms and to present these awards and get to say thank you, you know, from the community and from the city for the great work that they're doing. So I attended the National League of Cities Conference last week in Washington, D.C. and met with the members of our federal delegation and some good conversations we've got. I think the strategy that we're employing for continued mindfulness at the federal level of the projects going on in South Jordan and what we need and the funding that we need to go with it. I think we're teed up pretty well. I think we're working really hard, and Ryan Levitt was really grateful and said, no, this is exactly when we need to have you come, and these conversations are what it takes. So I think we're in a good place. That it was a good conference, a valuable conference, and also those conversations, those meetings were good. They were really good. So, in addition to the two federal appropriations we've received in the last year, we kind of have a strategy that we're putting together for what we'll keep working towards and trying to achieve as we have all of these capital projects that need to take place. So it was good. I think it went well. So Mr. Luce was able to come out and be there for congressional visits, for meeting with our members of Congress. And so, did you have anything you wanted to add about that?
They know who we are quite clearly, and they like working with our city. They appreciated that, unlike all of the cities that they get, we come with stuff ready and that we don't have unreasonable asks.
That was said a few times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why I mention it.
Yeah.
And you know, they can't help everybody all the time, and so you kind of take turns, and there's only so much to go around as far as projects, but at the same time, they like doing things for South Jordan because they appreciate all of you. I can tell you, Congressman Owen's office really appreciates the city. He does town halls and other things here regularly, and he knows where City Hall is. He knows our staff and our people, and he appreciates you guys.
So it was good. All in all, that was a good, very busy, but a good couple of days. Yesterday, I don't know if you saw in the Deseret News, but yesterday, Utah's 14th Governor Mike Leavitt, he had an event called What's Past is Prologue. And he's taken time to write a memoir of his last of his 25 years in public history and turn it over to the people of Utah for free as a gift, available online that anyone can read. There's 5 volumes. And yesterday he had an event where he kind of married lessons from the past and people who he worked with in the past when he was governor with what's happening today and in the future, and those lessons learned. Infrastructure, at the time we had outgrown I-15, and it was lofty for them to take on the construction of I-15, and they did it and they got it done, and then the Olympics were coming with a hard deadline that was faster than they were going to be able to get it done, and they got it done. We've again outgrown our infrastructure, right? And we have the Olympics coming, and how to really harness and maximize the same way they did then what we need now. Did the same thing with technology. At the time, Governor Leavitt's administration was the first administration to use email. We're like, what? Yeah, that never existed before then. And today it's AI. And not knowing what this is going to look like, no one could have imagined at the time what technology would turn into then. The same thing I think now, right? So that was good. And then also education, public education. So it was really a very good event. And I think there's a lot of lessons that we can learn. I had a chance to visit with him, and he had really, really nice things to say about the city of South Jordan. So he passes on his appreciation to all of you. Let's see, I'll skip that one. And just make you all aware, had a good conversation. It's just a good reminder that I would ask people to be aware of when there's so many things on the ballot this year. There's so many candidates. I mean, it's going to be a big ballot, right? There's a lot of things on the ballot this year. One of the things that will be on the ballot is the Zoo Arts and Parks tax reauthorization. Every 10 years, the residents of Salt Lake County have the chance to decide. And I'm kind of explaining this more for you guys and anybody who's listening, but every 10 years, the residents of Salt Lake County have the chance to decide if they're going to reauthorize the ZAP tax. And it's a self-chosen, very, very minimal, very nominal amount of money tax to pay for the arts and parks and the zoo and the programs that happen all around Salt Lake County. This is a ZAP tax reauthorization year. So 10 years ago, it passed with 77% approval, and the 10 years before that, it was 71% approval. So this will be the 40th year it's existed, and it's passed every time. It's something that the people have chosen to self-impose because of the benefits that the community and all the cities in South Jordan get out of it. But anyway, just to note, regardless of how you feel about anything on the ballot, the ZAP tax is going to be on the ballot, so be mindful of that. And you know, consider if you feel like there's anything of value for you. We have some talking points. The city has benefited greatly from the ZAP tax, including a lot of the construction for Bingham Creek Regional Park. And there's just been quite a bit that we've received. And so anyway, we'll have some more information. We're not, as a public entity, we're not going to be lobbying anybody either way, but we are going to share information so people can make an informed decision about that. So just wanted to bring that point because I had a meeting about that.
How many years did you say we've had that?
This will be the 40th. This will be the third time it would have been before the voters. Well,
starting in 94, I think, was the first.
They said today.
They said 94 when we met with them today.
And then they used the word 40.
2004, 2014, and now 2024.
Okay, so it's 30. No, how old is that? Okay.
It'll start the
40th. We've had it 33.
Okay, start the 40th. That's what she was talking about. Okay.
I think the first projects were started in 97.
Okay.
And was authorized and the bond was passed.
Yeah. So we'll hear a lot about that. But in a time when the political cycle is going to be crazy, it's just going to be loud, and it's going to be what it is, there's something that's actually that we can all have some control over that really makes a difference in our everyday lives, and that's the Zap Tax, and that'll be on there. So, and then finally, yes, the rehearsals for our city musical are underway, and I decided to be brave enough to go and audition for the show, and it's a really talented cast, and I'm still a little bit stressed out about the amount of time. I don't know how I'm going to have time to do it. I'm kind of stressed. We had a rehearsal here last night until 10 o'clock. And any ounce of discretionary time, or even not, that there is, will go into this. But I think we're so fortunate to have this company partner with us to do these shows. And so many South Jordan residents in it. They're not all South Jordan residents, but a lot of them are. And it's fun to give them an opportunity to perform in this show. So it's good. So I guess I would say you're all invited, but maybe, I don't know.
Maybe. I'll invite them.
We'll
all.
See.
We'll be on the front row.
We'll see. Anyway, it's going to be good. We've got a really good team put together. So that is my report.
Mayor?
Yes.
May I make one more comment?
Please.
Mentioning of going and visiting with our federal delegation reminded me that I just wanted to, for those residents who are here, but and anyone who might listen, just give a thanks to Congressman Owens and Senator Lee's offices. My oldest daughter's had had a very unique once-in-a-lifetime opportunity happen and wanted some more information and needed some help on expediting a passport, and they were able to help guide him with that. So just want to publicly thank their offices for that help.
I'm glad to hear that. That's great. That's good. All right, public comment. We're going to turn to you now. If there's anything you would like to share with the council that you want us to hear, the public comment time is when we do it. And we open the microphone and ask everyone to give us their name and address for the public record. And everyone gets 3 minutes to tell us anything you want to tell us, whether you like something, whether you hate something, whether you want to see it changed, whether you never want to see it changed. This is your time to speak to the council and let us know what you think. We're very proud of how we do things in South Jordan, that we make a commitment to you that we will be very respectful and we will have a civil dialogue. And we ask the same of everyone who speaks in our meetings, whether they're in person or online. And maintain our commitment to a civil dialogue here because we all care about this city and what happens. So with that, I'll turn the time over. If there's anyone here that would like to speak during public comment, the time is now yours. Nothing? Nothing like, you know, we wish you could have worked things out to expand the parking lot of Bingham sooner, but we are getting it done. So, okay. Thank you. Anybody online like to address the council? If so, please turn on your camera and give us a wave. Okay. Seeing none, thank you. We'll close the public comment portion of our meeting and move to our public hearing items. We have item G1 is Ordinance 2024-05, adopting an amended and updated impact fee for public safety, establishing certain policies related to impact fees for public safety facilities, establishing service area and or other related matters. We're going to turn to the Director of Strategy and Budget, Mr. Don Tingey. And partner, I'll let you take it away.
My trusty sidekick.
Yeah.
We all know Fred. He does a lot of work for us.
Fred, we welcome you and we appreciate you being back here. Fred Philpott with, I always abbreviate it.
Yeah. LRB.
LRB.
Yep. So, we're back. We met in council meeting in the latter part of February and went over the proposal for the public safety impact fees. And Fred's going to quickly, at a high level, go over that. We've published it, and we're here tonight for the public hearing.
Alrighty, I thought I'd just quickly review the statutory requirements relative to the impact fees. So as part of this process, we need to have completed an impact fee facilities plan and an impact fee analysis, which, as Don referenced, has been made available to the public. In those documents, we identify the process and the methodology associated with the calculation of impact fees. The process is shown here. We have to complete certain noticing requirements to begin the process, then we complete our analysis, then make those documents available to the public to allow public feedback. And then we're at the tail end of this timeline at the public hearing and adoption phase. As a reminder, any increased impact fees, there's a 90-day wait period before those become effective. Our methodology includes five main elements that lead into a proportionate share analysis, and this governs really all impact fees. We have to look at demand in your service area, existing facilities. We have to establish a level of service. Then we identify excess capacity and future facilities necessary for growth. Then we consider all revenue resources available, both past and present, used to finance system improvements or fund system improvements. Those may be debt financing mechanisms or grants or other monies. Again, all of that feeds into the proportionate share analysis, which I've shown here. So for police, we're primarily including buy-in to existing facilities and calculating a cost per call. And then for fire facilities, we have existing and new facilities as well as apparatus that feeds into the calculation of the fee. I'll also point out that as it relates to apparatus, that component is only assessed to non-residential development. So on that fee, you see a different cost per call for residential versus non-residential development. This shows the calculated fee per land use type. This is average land uses. So we look at single family, multifamily, and a variety of non-residential uses. And we, again, calculate the cost per call, multiply it by the level of service per land use, per unit. So for residential, that's on a per unit, residential unit basis. And for non-residential development, it's on a per 1,000 square feet of building space. There you can see the proposed impact fee for each of the different land uses. And on the next slide here, I show the combined maximum allowable impact fee compared to your existing fee. As you can see, there's a proposed increase for all land use types that are included in the schedule. This schedule is found in the ordinance before you for adoption and provides, again, that maximum allowable impact fee. It's important to note that as a legislative body, you have an opportunity to adopt, modify, or reject the proposed impact fees. Again, we've calculated the maximum allowable. If you choose to modify or in the event that you don't choose to assess impact fees, then there's considerations relative to level of service and how do we fund that infrastructure. But again, we're calculating that maximum allowable. As I mentioned, a 90-day wait period before you can assess any increase to the impact fee schedule. And that covers the summary of the impact fees.
Can you go back to the schedule? So I mean, we went through it pretty fast, but I just want to... Yeah, there we go. Thank you.
To provide some further insight, what was really driving this change... when we look at the police side of it, there's really not a substantial change in the calculation of that fee since we're using we're including similar infrastructure that was included in the previous study. There are some minor changes relative to the level of service per land use type. So often the call ratios will change slightly as we use updated data. But this is primarily driven by the change to the fire fee and the change in cost related to building additional infrastructure. So that inflationary pressure that many communities have experienced is being expressed in this revised fee schedule.
Thank you. I'm going to ask, because we have some students here with us that have an assignment to take notes, whatever, would you just very quickly, before we have the public comment period, so people are well-informed, explain what an impact fee is and who pays one and who doesn't?
Yes, an impact fee is a one-time fee on new development activity. So it's not assessed to your existing land uses, residential or non-residential, but as new development comes in the community, they pay a one-time fee for their impact on infrastructure. So it helps build infrastructure related to the services that a municipality provides, which includes utility-related infrastructure, water, sewer, storm, as well as public safety, parks and recreation, power infrastructure, if you have that, transportation. Again, that one-time fee is assessed to allow a municipality or local government entity to build necessary infrastructure to meet the needs of that new development activity.
Thank you. And the point of that is so it does not land on the shoulders of
exactly.
existing residents as a tax or anything. It's so the new development can pay its share of what it costs for the new development.
Right? Yes, correct.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure and point that out so that
yeah, that's a great point. Yeah.
Okay. All right. We will come back to you after the public hearing and see if anybody has any questions. Thank
Great.
You. All right, I'm now going to open the public hearing on Ordinance 2024-05, adopting an amended and updated impact fee for public safety, establishing certain policies related to impact fees for public safety facilities, establishing service area, and or related matters. The same criteria as for our public comment period. Anyone who would like to speak during this public hearing is invited to come up and give us your name and address for the public record, and you're welcome to weigh in on this if you'd like to. Okay. No. Okay, seeing none, is there anyone online that would like to speak during this public hearing to this item? Okay, seeing none, we will close this public hearing and turn to the council and see if you have any questions for Don or Fred or please.
So we just had a lengthy conversation about ADUs. And I noticed we aren't charging impact fees on ADUs, and maybe the state law won't allow us to do that. I don't know. But it seems to me like it's that they clearly will have an impact.
That's a good point.
Yeah, I believe we're, ADUs is a hot topic relative to the assessment of impact fees, and there's been consideration on expanding the definition and how we assess impacts to ADUs. But ultimately, it comes down to that evaluation of impact and proving that there's a net increase or impact on the system relative to any residential development and non-residential development. So we have a schedule here that has general land uses, but it's likely that you will have different types of development that will come in that will require a specific evaluation on how to assess an impact fee.
Right now, I don't think they're allowed, right?
I don't think they're expressly prohibited. But you would have to show the increased impact. Lehigh has done studies trying to show increased impact through some of the utilities, water, sewer, things like that. And it's very, very difficult because, for example, say you have an ADU, and so the total people in your house are six, because the average is three per household in South Jordan, if you go off census. So you have three up, three down. How many other houses in South Jordan have six in them that are not ADUs? And so you're dealing with a law of averages and stuff. And so to try to show the impact, this is public safety specific, of more calls because of ADUs, we would have to chart that and show that for a long period of time. And I don't think we have the data to support it at this time on either a citywide or county or a bigger region basis. There's no data that I know of. I don't know if Mr. Philpott has seen any.
We haven't.
Did I summarize that correctly from your point of view? They're the analysts who do all the hard work. You know, attorneys, we just kind of speculate about the theory. But behind it, I wouldn't have any data that I could put on the stand to support that a house with an ADU of three people and primary occupancy of three people has an increased police impact over the house with six people over here that they're all related and it's not a rental. I just,
yeah,
we don't have that yet.
I appreciate the difficulty.
It might be coming. As ADUs get more popular, there may be things over time that we can look at our calls for service with police, calls for service with fire, and we can start to break that out. I don't know if we have the data set at this time.
I think that, you know, if we enact the ordinance that we were just considering, plus open up the master development agreement with Daybreak, I mean, we could effectively double the density in our city, or at least open the door for that. And surely that's going to have an impact over time.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I do
something we have to look at, I think.
And I do think those data sets are starting to be built, and I think there's actually better arguments in the public safety realm over time with data that we might be able to do better than some utilities, because public safety, we can chart impact by house, sure, age, who it is, different than you can, like, you don't know who's flushing the toilet and who's taking a long shower and who's those impacts, right.
Just to clarify, I mean, we are capturing it, just falls under the single family homes, it's just not broken out on its own.
Yes, it arguably would be captured in that average,
yeah,
considering that there's existing ADUs within the system now.
It's just, we wouldn't necessarily get any more. We wouldn't necessarily get more impact, you know, fees from it, because what would happen is the single family would actually come down a little bit, right? And then because we're getting it on the ADU, is that right?
Correct. Anytime you expand the land use categories,
yeah,
it's actually just shifting the burden,
yeah,
for the fee. So this is, yeah, proportionate and generates the revenue, but the cost associated with that infrastructure. But as you create a new category, it would shift that one way or the other, depending on proportionality.
Thank you.
Anyone else?
Go ahead, Ms. Mayor. For sake of clarity, could you explain, these impact fees are paid by developers at the point of permit, or when is this paid to?
At the time of building permit.
Building permit. So if I'm a developer and I'm building, you know, 100 single family homes, I pay that lump sum at each permit?
At each permit.
Okay. And then my second question, and I know this is hard to, this isn't a fair comparison, but just for my reference, if this is passed tonight and I have a resident approach me and say, wow, South Jordan's fee is this, but the neighboring city is a different one, could you just give me a point of reference, maybe Riverton, Harriman, West Jordan, what is their single family fee look like? Do you have an idea?
I have not pulled their public safety impact fees for comparative purposes, but usually, this is generally speaking, they range on a combined basis between $500 and $1,000.
Okay.
So it's in the realm of that average. But it really, the challenge with the comparisons is it depends on level of service.
I totally understand.
Yes, but...
Yes.
And how long ago they did it, because ours, passing it today, ours is probably going to be higher if they did theirs 4, 5, 6 years ago.
How often, when was the last time we did this?
2019.
Okay.
And most entities that deal with growth are updating their impact fees more regularly. So every 3 to 5 years, 5 years on the outside.
Right.
And especially where you've seen quite a bit of inflationary pressure on capital costs and construction, I'm having many entities call me to say we need to amend these and get these updated because it's costs are double what we experienced even a couple of years ago.
And I appreciate you stating that so that people recognize, okay, we are the fastest growing city in the state, if not one of the top three, and costs of what 2019 costs were compared to 2024 costs are exponentially different.
Yes.
So I understand that, and I appreciate you stating that. Thank you.
And this was not determined based on any other averages. This isn't determined by averages. This is our actual cost of what it costs us. And
yes.
Not charging
there
enough
are numbers.
Time.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I have one number or one question. Could you bring up on the screen the fee, the breakup of the fees, just for my clarity that I understand what we're talking about? Yeah, that one. Now, I understand the fees are all based on real costs to the city, but you kept saying this is the maximum allowed. Where does that play in? Where do you come up?
Yeah, so based on all of the data points relative to level of service and the capital cost, we take that cost and divide it into the different land uses. And that combined max there, so a single family at $939, represents the calculated maximum that you can adopt as an impact fee for a single family residential unit. Some entities will opt to, it doesn't happen often, but will adopt a lower fee than what's in this schedule.
Okay.
And say, well.
So it's based on a formula based on real data that's collected.
Yes, the call data, the building square footage within the city now, the capital costs that is proposed to maintain the level of service, all of that feeds into this schedule to say, here's the most you can charge for these different land uses on a per unit basis. Again, there are instances where this schedule may not capture the specific land use that is being proposed. I can speak to a specific example that South Jordan, we discussed relative to the park impact fee. There was a development of 55 plus community that was had some questions relative to the park impact fee cost per residential unit. And so we had some discussion relative to data they provided specifically on their population numbers, and your ordinance allows that type of consideration to provide a specific case-by-case evaluation. This is the general schedule, which will fit most of your development activity, but there may be some nuances there on specific development.
I think that's a good question, because this is, I like that we can't just round up and go, okay, well, it's gonna cost us $939 for a residential unit, you know, for this public safety, so we're just gonna round it up to $1,000. This says we're not allowed to. This is the most we can charge because this is what it's gonna cost us. Right?
Yeah, unless we redo the study and recalculate.
Right, and it's based on data, but it's also a cap that just keeps it at cost.
Well, I just wanted some clarification.
Yeah,
it's been a while since I've participated.
Yeah, thank you.
It's good to have the clarification out there for the general public.
I think I know the answer to this, but I just want to make sure that I'm understanding it correctly. So when we look at all of the commercial uses, it's per 1,000 square feet. Okay, and then when we look at, you know, single family and multifamily, it's per unit. And so I'm just guessing, just like as these commercial units are bigger, it's expected that there's gonna be more people in them. But maybe on a home, you know, that doesn't necessarily, a bigger home doesn't necessarily equate to more people in it, which is having, so that's why maybe there's not more impact. Just people, some people just choose to live in bigger homes. Is that kind of why that is? It's just there's not a meaningful difference on the impact on the residential side like there is the commercial side.
We would have to do a more refined analysis to get to that that data, but the impact fee process is a balancing act of simplicity and specificity. Okay. Saying, okay, we need a schedule that is easy to implement and administer relative to the land use types, understanding that there's an averaging that's happening. We're taking all of the calls to single family residential and averaging those across that development type. So that's going to happen in all of these land use types. There's different commercial users that have higher impacts than other commercial users. So that same concept actually exists in all of these categories. As we reviewed in the business license study, for example, there's different types of businesses that result in higher call volume. So some entities, as they refine this analysis, will opt for even more detailed fee schedules. Again, that creates some challenges relative to administering those schedules. Yeah. So we choose more of a standard of practice that most communities utilize across the state, which is that single family designation versus the multifamily designation.
We try to, as we're doing the analysis, we try to see if there is any anomalies as we're looking at it, so that if we needed to do a nursing home specific, you know, obviously a commercial use, but a high intensity area there with for impact for call volume. Mm-hmm. And so as good as Matt can help us do, we try to look at that with our GIS data and correlating that with the call the calls.
Yep.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yep. Anyone else? Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. All right. There's no other questions. I'm going to ask if there is a motion on Ordinance 2024-05 adopting an amended and updated impact fee for public safety, establishing certain policies related to impact fees for public safety facilities, establishing service area and or other related matters. Is there a motion on this?
Mayor, I'll make a motion that we approve Ordinance 2024-05.
Thank you. We have a motion by Mr. McGuire. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Thank you, Mrs. Johnson. Motion and a second. Any additional discussion? Mrs. Crookston, would you please lead the council in a roll call vote?
Councilmember McGuire?
Yes.
Councilmember Johnson?
Yes.
Councilmember Shelton?
Yes.
Councilmember Zander?
Yes.
And Councilmember Harris?
Yes.
Okay. Appreciate it. Thank you. Been 5 years since we've updated that, and the cost of providing this service, especially the level of service we provide, has changed immensely. So thank you for that. And Fred, Don, thank you both. Thank you. All right, item G2 is another public hearing on Ordinance 2024-06, re-adopting the city's construction standards and specifications. And we're going to turn to our Director of Engineering, City Engineer Brad Clavino, for this.
Good evening, Mayor, members of the council. As was mentioned earlier, in 2017, there was a House Bill 232 that required our city standard plans and specifications be adopted by ordinance and part of our land use code. So we did that in 2017. And in that bill, I don't remember exact language, it said if there's any changes that cost developers money, essentially builders and developers, then you have to bring it back by ordinance and readopt them. So we decided that at that time when we adopted that, that we'd only bring back once a year changes instead of coming every month or 4 or 5 times a year, which is a lot of staff writing reports for me. So anyhow, we decided to just do this once a year. And so we have a committee at the city that's made up of public works and engineering, and we talk about these standards through the years, if there's any issues that come up through the year. And then in January, we get together and kind of assemble them all and bring them to you in about this time of year every year. And so this is our 2024 version of changes. It's actually probably the shortest list we've had since we've been doing this, since 2017. So maybe we're getting to the point that we're not finding things that need tweaked and changed much anymore. There's probably always gonna be some because, you know, plant or different materials change and different things change all the time. And we're also learning things. But I can go through each one individually, or I don't know if you had a chance to look at this, I can answer any questions, but most of them are cleanup items, changing some stuff, parts to stainless steel, we did a change a couple of the items unless approved by the city engineer. We're finding we normally want water meters not surrounded by concrete to have in a dirt area or a landscaped area, so it's easier for public works to get to. But as we're getting into the town center area of Daybreak, that's getting to be quite difficult to do. So we're allowing myself to work with public works to come up with some kind of vault that's bigger that public works can still get in to do their stuff. But there's a lot of different versions of what could be done. So we didn't want to specifically outline one. So we're giving the authority to me to work with public works essentially to do that. There were some changes to the signs, the covering of the coating on them, putting the year it's fabricated and who fabricated them, and some epoxy. It's pretty minor stuff. So I don't know if you can open the public hearing, and then if there's any questions, I can answer them. So.
Perfect. Thank you. Another example is stop lines are required anytime a stop sign is installed. That
yeah,
almost just
we
sounds
have,
like common sense, right? There should be a stop line.
There wasn't.
Right, but now that's part of the standard.
We have a lot of stop signs that don't have the stop bars. The issue with stop bars is it's more painting to do annually, so there's a cost to it. So traditionally, a lot of people haven't done those, but we found out over the years that, and I'm a big believer of that, if you're not having, especially if you don't have crosswalks, the stop bar is pretty important. So we, after working together, we decided to get that in our standards this year. So
yeah.
Well, and on a side note to that, I think it's good for like when trees sometimes start blocking the stop signs that you have that extra visual.
Yeah, there's a line painted right on
the As you recall, last year we added to the standards the trees can't be planted within...
Yeah, we made that change.
15 feet or what it was. I don't know when landscapers plop a tree with 1 foot in front of the stop sign, how they thought that was smart. But anyhow.
It was smart, but right?
Yeah.
At the time, yeah.
But okay. Anyhow.
Thank you. Appreciate it. As a reminder, this is to ensure that the city complies with the Utah Municipal Land Use Development and Management Act. That's what this is for. All right, I'm now going to open the public hearing on Ordinance 2024-06, readopting the city's construction standards and specifications. Is there anyone here in person that would like to speak to this? Seeing none, is there anyone online that would like to speak? Okay, seeing none, we'll close the public hearing and turn to the council and see if you have any questions for Brad. Okay. Thank you. I'm seeing none. I'll ask if there is a motion on Ordinance 2024-06.
Mayor, I'll move to approve Ordinance 2024-06, adopting the city's construction standards and specifications.
Thank you. Is there a second?
I'll second the motion, Mayor.
Thank you. Just a point of clarification, it's readopting our construction
re-adopting
standards. Thank yes,
you.
Thank you, since we have to do that every year. All right, any other discussion? Mrs. Crookston, please.
Councilmember Zander?
Yes.
Councilmember Shelton?
Yes.
Councilmember Harris?
Yes.
Councilmember Johnson?
Yes.
And Councilmember McGuire?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. All right, Ordinance 2024-07, vacating a portion of right-of-way on the west side of Prosperity Road, running south from Lake Avenue, approximately 163 feet, a very teeny, teeny little right-of-way that we need to discuss the possibility of vacating. So our Director of Planning, Stephen Schaefermeyer, is here.
Thank you, Mayor. You know exactly where that is based on the description, right? if you turn to page 590 of your packet, and those that live in the area probably do, it extends from Lake Avenue down through Prosperity Road. The purpose of this request is they would like to extend the a bicycle track. They call it something else, but it's not. Yeah. So the intent is to eventually extend it all the way out to 118. I'm not entirely sure why we don't just do that all in one. We didn't find good answers from Daybreak why we're requesting this in pieces, but I think they're just doing it as they plat and plan. So you'll probably see another request in the future so that it goes all the way out to 118th South. But this would allow that to be an amenity that the HOA maintains, not on city property. And the standard is there in your packet. Staff has found that there's good cause to vacate this and recommend that you do.
Okay, thank you. All right, I will open the public hearing now. We'll come back to Mr. Schaefermeyer if we have any questions after. Opening the public hearing on Ordinance 2024-07, vacating a portion of right-of-way on the west side of Prosperity Road running south from Lake Avenue, approximately 163 feet. Is there anyone in person that would like to speak to this? Or anyone online that would like to speak? Okay, seeing none, we'll close the public hearing and see if the council has any questions. Go ahead.
Question, Mayor. Mr. Schaefermeyer, I'm pretty sure the answer, but is this just going to be an extension of asphalt? This right-of-way that we're giving?
Yeah, so nothing has been constructed yet, so it would end at the curb. So basically the sidewalk area is the section that we're vacating.
Okay.
We're going to make the road wider for a potential bike lane. Is that what I understand?
Well, no. I recall seeing the plans a couple weeks ago. They'll have the normal sidewalk, and then behind it is this cycle path of asphalt.
So it's a separated.
Yeah, and we don't want that in our right-of-way. I don't want to maintain it. So anyhow.
So if they wanted, it needs to be part of this property. Okay.
I'm not sure how they're constructing it.
I think when they come back to the corner, it comes back and meets the sidewalk, and then they'll cross the street. Is that what you're asking?
She's wondering the material.
Like blacktop?
Oh, they're going to do asphalt for the cycle path.
Good.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Nice. Thank you for the clarity.
Yeah, I think it's similar to what you see down Lake Avenue.
Yeah. Okay, perfect.
Thank you. Any other questions? All right. Is there a motion on Ordinance 2024-07 vacating a portion of right-of-way on the west side of Prosperity Road running south from Lake Avenue, approximately 163 feet?
Mayor, I'd like to move that we approve Ordinance 2024-07.
Thank you, Mrs. Johnson. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Mrs. Zander, any additional discussion? Seeing none, Mrs. Crookston, will you please?
Councilmember Johnson?
Yes.
Councilmember Zander?
Yes.
Councilmember McGuire?
Yes.
Councilmember Harris?
Yes.
Councilmember Shelton?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Item G4 on the agenda is Zoning Ordinance 2024-04-Z, rezoning property located at 10593 South, 3200 West from R1.8 Residential Zone to R2.5 Single Family Residential Zone in High Country Homes and Developments. I will turn to Mr. Schaefermeyer again for this.
Thank you. So this is located off of 3200 West, just south of the they're calling it Sagewood Barn Reception Center that was approved a while ago over by the Bison Ridge Subdivision. It's the properties between 3200 West and Alexander Park Lane. It's one of four undeveloped parcels. Three of them are 0.88 acres and one of them is 0.94 acres. And it's surrounded on all sides by subdivision. The reason, so, I'm trying not to get too ahead of myself. The proposal, and this shows the existing properties. There's a home on 3200 with, of course, horse pasture. There's some information about the horses have been moved off of the property, and the homeowner is aware, the property owner is aware that making this change changes the availability for farm animals. Under the R25 zone, they're not allowed. This is the concept, their proposal.
What was that previous page?
It's just contour elevations, so it shows that there's a gradual change. It's not incredibly steep. Okay. This was just all submitted by the applicant as part of their application. So this is the concept plan, and as you can see, they're proposing currently, and partially because of the buildings that they intend to keep on the existing lot. They're intending to make two large lots that are above and beyond what the R25 zone and the R18 zone, what it's currently zoned, is. The challenge with these lots is you have to meet two separate things. One is a zoning density, and it's sort of written with keeping it geared towards larger subdivisions, right? So it's you get a number of lots, but within that total area, you have things like roads and everything else. So that's why the lot sizes are a little bit smaller. And so then we have the minimum lot size that is also required. So it's geared towards these larger developments where over the course of a large development, you could have these smaller, and I'm saying smaller in the case of R18, one-third lots. So most of them would end up being about a third acre. But then you're including things like road and everything else. So that's how the density calculation works out. In this case, because it's such a small piece of property, it's really difficult to meet the density requirement because you don't have all of the properties involved. When this property owner first approached the city, we encouraged them to talk to these other three property owners because we would love for it to sort of all come in at once. But people are on different timetables. And so the general plan is stable neighborhood. So although the Bison Ridge subdivision and Alexander Park Lane are R18, the subdivisions across the street are R25, and the Sagewood Barn Homes, the subdivision that was part of that approval, is zoned R3, so even denser. But again, the minimum, this is beyond the minimum lot size requirement of both the R18 zone and the R25 zone, and will allow them to have similar sized lots, especially with their neighbors across Alexander Park Lane, same lot frontage. And so it's always been anticipated that these four lots would subdivide. And for that reason, staff is recommending approval. This did go before the Planning Commission, who also recommended approval of this rezone. Although they're showing this in the this concept plan, all they'd be able to get is two lots, but they could shift the lot line. So one lot could grow larger, and that's up to them. But this is what they intend to do.
And then are they looking to just maybe put another house that fronts Alexander Park?
Yes. Uh-huh. They would have to complete the sidewalk, I believe, but they already have, I don't know if they have utilities stubbed. The applicant probably knows that. But anyway, they would be responsible for that as well.
Okay, we'll have our public hearing. Thank you.
Thanks. And sorry, the applicant may be online. I'm not sure.
I'm going to try to see. I wondered. Thank you. Okay, we will now open. Actually, before we open the public hearing, I will turn online. Is the applicant for this project online? Yeah, and if so, would you like to turn on your camera? And would you like to say anything before we open the public hearing? Okay, it's not looking like it. Okay, we will go ahead and open the public hearing on zoning ordinance 2024-04-Z, rezoning property located at 10593 South 3200 West from R1.8 residential zone to R2.5 single family residential zone, High Country Homes and Developments. Okay, I see Mr. Bonham on right now. So I didn't officially open it. We're going to open it in a second. Mr. Bonham, if you have anything you'd like to say, anything you'd like to add as the applicant, we're happy to hear.
Yeah, sorry. I was planning on being there. I thought I was Superman today and tried to hit a family thing and then make it. You guys are fast. So if you can hear me, yeah, I think all the utilities are stubbed to it and everything. So this is a pretty slam dunk deal.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
I don't know if there's anything I can add to what has already been said. It's he did a really good job.
Okay. It seems fairly straightforward, right?
Okay. Yeah.
Thank you. If we have any questions, that the council has any questions after the public hearing for you, we'll let you know.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. All right, we'll now open this public hearing on zoning ordinance 2024-04-Z. Is there anyone here in person that would like to speak during this public hearing? Okay, seeing none, is there anyone online that would like to speak during this public hearing? Okay, I'm not seeing anyone. All right, we will close the public hearing on this and turn to the council and see if you have any questions for Mr. Schaefermeyer or Mr. Bonham.
No questions.
No? Okay. Doesn't look like we have any questions, so thank you. And we will see if there's a motion on this zoning ordinance 2024-04-Z. Rezoning property located at 10593 South 3200 West from R1.8 residential zone to R2.5 single family residential zone in High Country Homes Developments is the applicant. Is there a motion on this?
Madam Mayor, I'll move that we approve zoning ordinance 2024-04-C.
Okay, we have a motion by Mr. Shelton. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Mr. Harris. We have a motion and a second. Any additional discussion? Seeing none, Mrs. Crookston, could you please lead the council in a roll call vote?
Councilmember Shelton?
Yes.
Councilmember Harris?
Yes.
Councilmember Johnson?
Yes.
Councilmember Zander?
Yes.
And Councilmember McGuire?
Yes.
Okay, that rezone is approved. Mr. Bonham, thank you for joining us online, and that has been approved. All right, item H, we have staff reports and calendaring items. We'll turn first to our city manager, Mr. Lewis.
I have a couple of items for you tonight. The first one, I wanted to turn some time over to our communications PIO, Rachel Van Cleve, to talk a little bit about an exciting event that has been more than a decade in the making that will occur on Thursday regarding our Pure Sojo. So, Rachel, if you'd like to share with them the details of our big event.
Yes, like he said, more than a decade in the making, so it's kind of a big deal. Actually, you know, in the 5.5 years I've been with the city, I've basically been working on this from a communication standpoint the entire time. So a few things to note about the event is that I will be sending over FAQs and key messages to all of you for reference. So do you just have it's definitely review it before the event, just so you have a basis of what our latest messages are related to that. And then if, when you're at the event itself, if the media have questions about the specifics of some of the elements behind it that you may not know necessarily, the kind of key people for that are going to be Ray, Jason Rasmussen, and myself, if neither of them are available. And then the event itself starts at 2:30, and it's in your calendar for 2:30, so we're actually going to try to adjust that a bit because the shuttling takes time, so when you get to the parking lot, we want you there to be shuttled at probably around 2. So just keep that in mind, and we'll make sure to adjust those invites if they don't already say that. And then the event includes tours, kind of just at the end. So basically, once we do the kind of press portion, the first taste event and all of that, then there will be tours. The media can stay for that, but generally if you need to leave pretty quickly after the event starts, there will be staff with vehicles that will be able to take you back to the parking lot as needed. So just make staff aware of that. And those are the general pieces of information I have. I just wanted to ask if you had any questions for me or anything about the event.
How many people do we expect to be there? Is this like a dozen or two or 100?
The facility definitely could not hold 100, so we had to keep this relatively intimate.
it's so, by invitation only.
It is by invitation only, yep. And basically, it's officially a media event, but we have our partners at the state in the Division of Drinking Water, Division of Water Quality, South Valley Sewer. Carollo is a big one. They're the ones that helped us engineer the project. And just a lot of our partners that have made this possible. So
it will be available, though, for the general public now to be able to schedule and come be part of tours there. So anybody that wants to see the facility will have an opportunity to both see it, tour it, and have a sample of the water.
I'm glad you mentioned that. This will signal our public kickoff, to the public. So you all will get to see it, you'll get to taste the water, and then it'll signal the kickoff to have schools visit and anybody in the public, and we'll have a link on the website for people to start scheduling those tours. So it's a very exciting moment, many, many years in the making.
Along those lines, also, there's a press release going out, so they'll all have it. Any media who, they're probably all going to be there, but if anybody isn't, the press release will go out. So we expect quite a bit of press on this. And also, along those lines, there will be cameras there, and when it is time for the testing of the water, which we all get to do, to take the official first drinks of the water, it is imperative that nobody goes, you can't make a weird face. Like, this is a big deal.
No being weird.
No weird.
No being weird. No jokes, please.
I told my kids, this is what I call A game. And that, they know what A game means. A game face, A game voice, A game behavior, A game.
Yes, ma'am.
A game
because
there's going to be cameras everywhere.
Yeah. So, and this is why Mayor Ramsey makes my job easy.
So just a note that actually really is important. So.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Thank you for that note, Mayor.
It's one of those ancillary things, but it's important.
So. Yes. Yeah. Does anybody else have any other questions for me?
Will we all be having a cup and we'll drink?
Yes. Yes.
Yep. Great.
That is going to be our press moment, our photo-taking moment. That's why she says
A-game.
A-game. So.
I grew up with Magna water. Yeah, I mean, I'll be okay.
Delicious.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yes,
thanks.
The second item I have, last week the city received several different recognitions, some of which we can't reveal for a few weeks yet, but one that we can reveal, I wanted to have Director Janelle Payne share with you. She, along with members of her staff, attended a conference last week where some of our staff were actually presenters, which is a common theme at some of those conferences. But Director Payne, you want to tell us about the recognition that the city received?
Yeah, so this was the Utah Recreation and Parks Association conference. They do a variety of awards, but we were recognized for Department of the Year in Class 3, so populations, I think, size over 65,000. And while every organization has a different kind of makeup of parks and recreation, they do consolidate it into that parks and recreation group. We were recognized there, and the leadership from the organization will be out to recognize the city at a future council meeting we'll schedule with them. And I did just want to mention, too, that the Parks Division specifically was called out in the conversations I had by the organization leadership for just being really standout and a main driver for us getting the award. So we're happy to be.
Mm-hmm. That's yep. awesome.
Yep.
So, well, from a protocol standpoint, just because I'm trying to also be informative for you guys and a little bit educating for you guys as we go through this, we don't generally applause in this chamber, but sometimes there are occasions where it's appropriate, and I think this is one. So, woo! Awesome. Congratulations. That's a good-looking team right there.
Question, Mayor.
Yeah.
Could we ask to go back to that slide? Could you go back, John, to that slide? Janelle, could we ask Janelle to tell us who these team members are? I know about 50% of them.
Yeah.
I think it'd be good for us as council to know who's your team.
So three in is Colby Hill. That's where our staff starts. He's right there. Natalie Domino. She always makes an entrance at this award ceremony.
Yeah. Is that glitter on her shirt?
Yeah, she rode in on a bedazzled scooter.
Saturday Night Live pants. Okay.
Jamie Culbertson over the Community Center and Senior Programs, Brad Vasky over Mulligans and the Associate Director of Recreation, Sam Barlow, you might have to help me out with their actual titles.
He's one of our Parks Maintenance Supervisors over our projects and our ball fields.
Okay.
And then...
Has he been here very long?
He has been here for a long time.
Okay.
Matt Jorgensen, he is a Recreation Program Supervisor, Kevin Ball, Urban Forester, is that right?
Trails and Open Space Supervisor, but acts as our Urban Forester.
And then Jason Miller, Parks Manager, skip over that person, and then Caitlin Yao, our Customer Service Supervisor in Recreation.
Nice. Awesome.
Thank you.
That's great. Congratulations. That's a well-deserved honor.
One last thing that I have for you. All of our recently elected and re-elected council members are required to complete a training from the state auditor's office. We need to have that complete by the end of the month, or it will show up when they do our audit in a couple of weeks. So if Councilmember Harris, Zander, and Johnson would either see me after, I can help make sure that you have the right link to take that training. If you have already completed the training, we just need to get a copy of your certificate to Director Nadeau for his records.
What was the time frame that we, because I did it when I came on the sewer board. I believe it's the same training.
If you just did it.
You'll
have to redo it. It's anybody that was sworn into office in January.
Okay, so I got to do it again, even though it was relatively recently.
They want to see that done every
4 years.
But
that might count again because you were just reappointed, right? Because you finished, you filled the end of my appointment, then you were just reappointed?
Yeah.
I would check because that might, doing it one time will probably cover you for both.
The sewer board may have to redo it as
well. Yeah, that's what I mean. It might.
So
if you do
by taking it, you'll kill two birds with one
stone. I'll just send copies to both.
Yep. Yeah,
and those of you that sit on other boards, mosquito abatement, and those, they'll be asking you for the same thing.
It is imperative that we get that done. If you can shoot for like the 25th or something, we take a big hit if that's not done before the end of the month. We can't, not one that we can afford.
We'd really like to get a perfect score this year. It's worth, I think, about 20 points, 25 points.
Each.
Total on that.
Oh, for not being
for that
compliant.
Section
yeah.
of the audit.
And it takes us out of compliance.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
We'll get it done.
It's all or nothing, so yeah. I'm counting on you guys. Yeah, you guys know the material pretty well. You'll move through it pretty quickly. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you. My only calendar thing is just a reminder that we have the Utah League of Cities and Towns annual spring conference in April. We'd love to have our whole team there if possible, and look forward to that. I think there's going to be some good information there. They're also doing a pickleball tournament, which they've never done. Mm-hmm. And I am speaking and moderating a panel on transportation with a whole bunch of, folks.
I know of at least one other South Jordan employee that will be making a presentation at the conference again this year. We are a perennial favorite to have our staff members speak on a variety of topics, and they've been selected again.
Yeah.
Who is it? It is from Janelle's shop,
Domino.
And it's Natalie who you just saw in that last picture.
I don't know if she'll wear that outfit.
It's good. Okay, unless anyone has anything else, anybody? For us? Calendaring? No? Okay. All right. Then I'm going to ask for a motion to recess our city council meeting and move us into executive closed session for the discussion of the character, professional competence, or physical or mental health of an individual.
So moved, Mayor.
Thank you. Can I get a second?
I'll second.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
So I will ask if there's a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Thank you.
I'll second.
All right, all in favor, please say aye.
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 All right, we are adjourned. Thanks, you guys.